This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Glad you guys could be with us here on this wonderful Wednesday morning, November 12th. It is November 12th. And I already know you, Michael, I hate Christmas and all that stuff. But I did ask the question on my X account and my Facebook account, I guess. Follow me at Whole Show on X if you don't already, because we keep the party going well before and after the show here. I'm just asking, when is too soon to decorate for Christmas, and why isn't it the day after Halloween?
It's too soon.
No, it's not. We got our stuff up. We're ready to go. We got a 7-year-old. He's ready to rock and roll. My wife is like, we got the new place that we moved into in August, so we wasted no time. We're the only ones in the neighborhood that have it up, but there's a lot of older people in our neighborhood. So,
and they all hate you for it.
They don't. I'm sure they like driving by saying, oh, wow, you know what? And don't give me the whole thing like, we got to celebrate Thanksgiving first. What do you do for Thanksgiving? You just stuff your face on one day. It's not a buildup. It's not like decorations and stuff. So what are we talking about here?
You watch football.
What did you do? What did you do Monday night?
You watch football.
What are you going to do this weekend?
You watch football.
Yeah, so don't give me the whole, we got to get through Thanksgiving first. You're already doing those things. So, come on. We decorate early. I like Christmas decorating. I'll tell you, though, for a long time, it would really depress me to see Christmas decorations up the day after Christmas. I hated it. It just, because it was like, oh, it was such a buildup. It was such a great time. And now it's gone, just like that. It doesn't bother me so much anymore. I'm the guy that's like, leave it up through New Year's. Here we go. You know, have a time of it. Leave it up in January. Leave it up all year long. I'm good. I like hearing the Christmas music when I go into Walmart now, or any of the big box stores that I walk into. I think it's fantastic. Keep it up. Keep up the great work, guys. I don't care how many times I have to hear the Mariah Carey stuff. It's all good. It's Christmas time.
Is this segment really pleasing NoCo Christmas Light Pros?
You got to get after it now. Enjoy the season. Those people that decorate a week before Christmas, what are we talking about here? Is it worth it at that point? If you get a week or two before Christmas, is it even worth it? I don't think so. It takes a lot of work to decorate for Christmas. So if you're going to do it, you put it up there and you get after it.
My Christmas decoration is to print off a picture of Patrick Stewart saying "Bah humbug."
Oh, okay. I was going to say you were off to a weird. You were going on a weird journey there for a moment, but at least you got Bah Humbug in there.
Yeah, well, he played Scrooge. He's played Scrooge before. So, like, him as, you know, Scrooge sang Bah Humbug, and then I put that on my office door.
You know how that ended, though, right? Scrooge realized the magic of Christmas. So all those people are like, oh, I'm Bah Humbug, I'm Scrooge. Well, it ended with Scrooge loving Christmas. So,
not in my world.
And all the other adaptations that I've ever seen.
Not in the Micah Kilpatrick adaptation.
Well, yeah, you're a lifelong Scrooge, and you never have the moment at the end. When you're visited by the three ghosts, you're just kind of like, hey, let's party. You know, let's go do ghostly things. I'm into that stuff. You're like the, what's her face? The Addams Family chick.
Wednesday?
Yeah, or Tuesday, either one. Yeah, you're kind of like that girl. I haven't seen that series, though.
Just think about it this way. It's like the Addams Family meets Hogwarts.
Go on.
It's pretty decent.
I'm intrigued.
The teen drama stuff's a little annoying, but overall it's pretty good.
Okay. Well, I think there's never a bad time to gear up for it. I think it's right. It's great. GoPoke says, the schedule dictates when we do it. This year was the day after Halloween. And to be fair, we didn't do it the day after Halloween. We did it, let's see, I guess a week after. A week after. We put our Christmas tree up. And then throughout the weekend, this last weekend, we kind of started putting stuff out there. I'll admit, though, with the bigger property, we have a warehouse now, and we store all of our Christmas stuff out there. And going and getting all that stuff and bringing it to the house, and then my wife only picks like six things that she really wants, and I've got like 18 boxes that I gotta, you know, take back to the warehouse area. That's not fun. That part's not as fun as it could be.
She goes to the warehouse area.
Just go. What do you mean?
Like don't carry it. Like carry her to the warehouse area, and then she's like that, and that, and then carry her back.
Somebody's got to watch the child. So
I can go with you.
I'm gonna let you come over to my house and tell my child, come with us to do chores and look at stuff and get things for decoration. We'll see how that goes for you. This kid has got a one track mind. It's go. It's action. It's somersaults. It's cartwheels. It's hanging off stuff. I don't have time to sift through boxes with you and go through Christmas stuff. That's not happening. It is fast moving at our house. We are fast moving people.
I am very slow moving.
You would not last at the whole house, Mike. You would not last. You would be left behind. It would be like Walking Dead. You would be left for dead. You'd be the first one to die in our group.
I'd be that guy who was shot so that the walkers would eat him.
100%. I would have to do that. And you understand why, right? I'd have to do that. I'd have to shoot you so that you are feed for the walkers and we could escape.
I mean, if you think about it, that kind of makes sense. I understand why he did that.
Yeah,
I would
do that.
It's just really mean.
Well, you have to do what you got to do to survive, Mike. Okay.
Yeah, and also it was really mean.
Think you could survive a zombie apocalypse?
No, I'd be one of the first ones to die.
You think so? That'd be interesting. It depends on what type of zombies we're dealing with. The ones in The Walking Dead are very slow. I feel like I could maneuver and create a fortress to keep those things out.
Yeah, but then you run out of food.
Mm.
See, I'm moving in with Ed Lamb, and I'm helping him grow his wine grapes.
Have you talked to Ed about that? Have you talked to him?
No, but look, my faith in the UNC Bears is going to help win him over. Actually, I bet a bunch of the football players would help him out.
Eastside Chris says, Brady, might as well leave your decorations up all year. Then you don't have to take them down. I've considered just unplugging the lights. Just unplug the lights and then just leave them there. And then you don't have to mess with it every single year.
Well, what you could do is just not put them up.
No. We're putting them. Dude, I'm all in on this stuff. I love it. And we have a kid that loves it, and it's awesome to me. And I just love the whole, we got to get through Thanksgiving first. You can get through Thanksgiving with Christmas decorations surrounding you. There's no Thanksgiving music, Mike.
There are a few songs.
What? I don't want to hear them, but what? Name one Thanksgiving song.
They're in a playlist somewhere. I have to go find it.
It's got like two in there.
It's like four.
There's not a lot of Thanksgiving songs. I mean, I like Thanksgiving's fine. It's just, it's the in-between. I like the build-up to Halloween. It's great. It's awesome. And I like the build-up to Christmas. Thanksgiving's fine. It's a fine holiday. But it's just about stuffing your face and, like you said, watching football. And I could stuff my face and watch football every weekend.
I mean, it's truly an American holiday, stuffing your face. Did you hear the interview with Ed Lamb this morning?
I did.
So, Football 52, by the way, is going to be available at noon.
I chatted with him this morning. He and I have a very similar approach on how we feel about spiking footballs. I'm glad to hear him come on my side on that.
So he's okay with it?
No, spiking the football is intentional grounding, and it should be a 15-yard penalty. Loss of down.
In the end zone?
Spiking, you should never be able to spike the ball. It goes against the rules.
Oh, so like when you need to save time, like spike?
That's intentional grounding. For some reason, football has brainwashed you, Mike, to tell you that suddenly just because you're trying to stop the clock and you spike it, that's intentional grounding. If you look it up in the rule book.
I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. Just what you need to do is you need to have like a tight end right there. Or a running back just standing right there, just like
on the ground almost.
Yeah.
Because you're not.
Just have the wide receiver behind the guard.
You're inside the pocket, and you're throwing it at the ground. Clearly not trying to throw it to a football player. So that's intentional grounding.
Yeah, the reason I totally understand. Change the way things work. Move the running back behind the guard.
The reason this came up is because Eastern Washington, who UNC plays this weekend, Eastern Washington was driving and they got inside the 5-yard line against Montana and went to go spike it. And the quarterback, who I believe is a true freshman, he's a really good player, went to spike it and like lost it. And so he fumbled the spike and Montana recovered, game over.
And that's hilarious.
It's hilarious because it's not UNC.
It's devastating. It's devastating. I feel for that kid. That sucks, man. You're driving. You've got a chance to beat the top team in the Big Sky Conference, and you go to spike it to stop the clock, and it's a fumble. So that we were talking about that. We were reminiscing about that play. And then, side note, we kind of went off on spiking should be illegal anyway. Ed Lamb suggested something interesting, and I don't know if I'm for this or not, but he said, I think they should do away with spiking, and you should get unlimited timeouts if you're willing to lose a down. So instead of spiking it, you call a timeout, and they say you don't have any left. That's fine. I'm sacrificing the down. But then that loses the drama of running to the line. But in college football, if you get a first down, it stops anyway. So it's fascinating.
In the last 2 minutes.
Let's see. Dixon, the referee. We should change Dixon's name to Dixon, the ref. The way teams are able to get bailed out by the way intentional grounding is enforced may be the worst rule in sports. Defense busts their butt, and a QB can just launch it. What do you mean by that, Dixon? Can just launch it like a fake spike? Is that what you're talking about? So like teams,
yeah, the Marino.
Yeah, I don't see that's where the understanding is so. I didn't know we were going to go here today, but I'm willing to go here because I got a lot of cool things to talk about. A lot of cool things. Cordell Stewart still in the news. but it is jacked up. Because it's an unwritten rule that spiking is not intentional grounding. So when you go to spike the ball and you fake it, well, the defense is like, that's weird. You fake spike and throw it deep. I think that's weird. Dixon says, let's put the intentional back in intentional grounding. What is your intent? Correct. I think the intentional grounding
is to stop the clock.
Yeah, and that's jacked up. So but my intention when I'm doing it in a regular series is to not get sacked. So my intention was to not get sacked. So should that not be intentional grounding?
Well, that's okay. That's different.
It's not
maybe
different.
Stopping the clock is okay.
That's just
but not trying to get sacked.
It's jacked up. Man, it's marketing, man. It's the government's
all
way they get
intention.
You, man. They're telling you one thing's okay, and they're telling you another thing's fine, or another thing's not okay. You can't intentional ground to get out of a sack or to lose yards, but you can to stop the clock so that you can set up for a game-winning field goal. Which one of those is more critical to the game? Setting up for a game-winning field goal, I would say, or a game-winning play. But in a regular series, 2nd and 10, you roll out and you're running and you know you're going to get sacked, so you just throw it down and you don't cross the line of scrimmage and you're not outside the pocket or whatever, and they're going to call that intentional grounding. You're down 2 and you sprint down the field after a big gain and you're on the opposing team's 30, but you only got 7 seconds left. You sprint down, you hike it and spike it. To me, that play right there is more of a... Like, that's more of a detriment to what's going to happen. That's more of an intense situation, more of a special situation. Am I saying this? We should do away with spiking the ball. It's illegal. It's illegal to spike the football.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
You know what? That's an interesting point.
Yes.
And it leads to giving CU an undeserved national championship. #FifthDown.
#FifthDown. Faith, I never understood the spike to stop the clock, but it not being intentional grounding. Definitely not a receiver in that area. It's the ground, and you're not outside the pocket. It's one of the dumbest things in football to explain. So if you're explaining this to an alien that just landed on the planet, and you're watching football with him, and you're seeing it's like second quarter, quarterback's rolling out, throws it, and then nobody's there, and he's not outside the pocket, and the referee comes in and says that's intentional grounding, the alien goes, why? Well, nobody was there, so you can't just get rid of it. They don't want you just to get rid of it. You have to work to get outside that pocket, and then the ball has to go past the line of scrimmage. And then you watch the end of the game with Mr. Alien, and they snap it, throw it down to the ground. And Alien goes, well, wait, shouldn't that be intentional grounding? No, because his intent was to stop the clock. Well, couldn't you do that theoretically any time then? Snap the ball. I'm running straight back. Uh-oh, someone's going to get me. I spike it. I was just trying to stop the clock. Why? It didn't make sense for the game. It just made me feel better. I would like the clock to be stopped at this point.
Well, if the alien and I are both watching football, the alien is explaining how a disruptor works as I am explaining how football works. By the way, I was going to say, Ed Lamb gave like the coolest answer to Brian's poll question this morning. Like,
where are you taking me?
You have to go back and listen to it.
If you're taking me somewhere beside the spike talk, I don't want to go there. You're trying to derail. Don't derail. Dixon
I'm just
says,
saying, like, Ed Lamb, I liked him before. Now I really like him.
What are we
him.
Talking about here? Are we talking about spiking? Or are you going somewhere else? Are you taking us off to a weird little land of yours? Little Pizza. Voyage. Yeah. You're taking me away. Dixon says, I'm not really talking about spiking. I'm talking about getting rushed and being able to launch it into the 12th row. Well, I think there's a lot of things we should be looking at with intentional grounding because it just depends on the ref. And, like, they could say, well, there was a guy in the area, but you know he wasn't really throwing to that guy. You know, there's going to be a guy. Odds are, on any given play, there's going to be a guy in the area. So I get what you're saying there. I think there's a lot we have to look at.
As far as the launching into the 12th row, like, are you outside the pocket? Are you throwing it past the line of scrimmage?
Are you saying that shouldn't be legal, Dixon? That intentional grounding should be... He's saying, let's put the intention back into it. So if you're throwing it just to get rid of it, no matter where you are on the field, that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, but the problem is that makes it harder on referees to judge intent.
Yeah, but if they throw it out into the 12th row, like Dixon's saying, clearly your intent was to get rid of it.
Yeah, but
should
what
there
if you,
be no getting rid of it in football? No intentional getting rid of it.
Yeah, but what if you intend to get rid of it, but like it goes just over some player's head on the sideline? Then, oh, that's intentional grounding to one guy.
Subjective.
But not intentional grounding.
Welcome to
someone else.
Every call in the NFL. It's all just subjective. That would be part of it.
We need less subjective calls.
Well, I don't know. Dixon brings up an interesting point. I'm kind of in on that. I don't like getting rid of it. I want to see more sacks, I guess.
I agree with Dixon.
Then it would get quarterbacks
as little as possible.
You'd get quarterbacks hurt more often, though. Because if quarterbacks can roll out and they know they're going to get hit, they get rid of it and tip, you know, guy's not supposed to go after them. Faith says one needs to go, the spike or the intentional grounding call. Just get rid of intentional grounding. Just don't have it or get rid of the spike. Who cares about being outside the pocket? What was your intent is what Dixon's saying. It's not a bad point. I've always thought the whole concept of intentional grounding was just bizarre to me when you connect it with the rest of what football is.
Yeah, but sometimes that intent is hard to judge when you're either trying to throw the ball away or maybe you're trying to throw it to your back and the ball just goes in a weird direction. Well, the guy was being tackled at the time, so the ball was affected.
That would be on the referee to determine.
Was he trying to throw it to mm-hmm. the back?
Well, it's
and
just
he
like
affected the ball.
It's the tuck rule kind of thing too. I mean, I don't know. He said, "Chris, agree. Spiking is a penalty. What about the placeholder on a field goal? Because his knee is on the ground. Well, he's not being touched though, right? I guess in college he would be down. That's what I've never thought about. So in college football, you don't have to be touched. If your knee goes to the ground, you're down. So when you go to kick a field goal." And the placeholder catches it, and his knee is down. Shouldn't he be down? That's a good one. That is a really good one. Good pull there, Eastside Chris.
But it's special teams, so everything is special.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like, if you kick a field goal, like, let's say there's 7 seconds left, and you kick a field goal on third down and miss it, it's weird that you don't get another shot to kick the field goal. Like, that's just a turnover. Shouldn't that just be an incomplete pass? On third down, you kick a field goal with 7 seconds left and miss it. It's a turnover, right?
I mean, you'd think so since both quarterbacks and kickers really shouldn't count as human beings because they're treated so differently. You can't touch them.
You should get the ball back. You should get another shot.
Kicking is so much different than passing.
I understand that, but it's just interesting that it's third and seven. You kick a field goal, you miss it. but there's still 1 second left on the clock, you don't get another shot. It's weird to me. You ever think about that one?
No, I don't.
Just a turnover.
Usually the clock ticks off.
Yeah, but there are rare occasions where there's still some time left. Maybe like a second left, and you get another shot at it. Can you imagine being the defense busting your butt and doing what you get paid to do, and then the offense gets bailed out? The offense gets bailed out on everything, though. We all know that. Texter, there's a difference between over or under throwing a receiver and launching into the 12th row. It's not that hard. See, I tend to agree. I think you're saying it's would be too tight to officiate. I don't know. You can tell pretty quickly if a guy's just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, launching it into the 12th row when you're Texas and you're trying to beat a team and you're trying to waste 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing. But if it's kind of close, a lot of refs are going to call it a penalty and a lot aren't. It has to be really, really clear.
Holigans, I'm challenging you today. I want you to do what Eastside Chris did. I want you to think of weird things in football. Like his the placeholder knee being down. Think about weird things that are against the rules for any other situation, but because it's a special situation, it's allowed.
Does like fumbling spiking the ball through the end zone, is that the same thing? Because it's a turnover, it becomes a turnover.
I think if you fumble the ball and it rolls into the end zone and goes out of bounds, the ball should be down on the 1 yard line. Still the team that fumbled its ball. That's dumb to me. Yes,
because now I think that's become popular today.
You're turning the end zone into something. I don't know. I just think if you fumble the ball and then it happens to roll into the end zone and then rolls out of bounds, like by the pylon or something, or whatever it does, I think it should just be your ball on the 1 yard line. That's something I think is normal too.
It's the fumble, if you fumble it regularly out of bounds and it fumbles forward, they bring it back to where you fumbled it.
Yeah. How about the one where when you dive for an end zone, so Josh Allen dives over his center for a touchdown. And he tips the ball and it touches the goal line, right? But maybe a guy's hitting the ball, like he hits the ball, and it's moving in his hand as he's raising it and goes over the line, but it's moving, right? But it's still his ball. Why is that different than when like a receiver catches a ball in the end zone, but it never was still in his arm, he never had complete control? Shouldn't the same be true for a runner? If they're diving over, somebody hits the ball, knocks the back part of the ball, but it's moving in your hands, but you still cross the line. I've seen that before. He didn't have full control of the ball, but I guess because he already established control of the ball to begin with, that's interesting to me too.
See, I don't. That to me is a fumble. If you're fumbling it before into the end zone, that's a fumble.
But he crosses the line. So Josh Allen jumps over. He's got the ball. It gets hit, but it's still in his hands, but it moved right at the same time the tip of the ball is crossing the goal line.
That's a fumble.
But he never lost it. So shouldn't you say that he didn't have control, so therefore he never got in the end zone, so he's just down where he was?
Well, if he never got the ball in the end zone, if he never had control with the ball in the end zone, you got to bring it back to where it was.
This is fun. Faith says, I used to think that about the field goal in a third down with time left after the missed kick a lot and have gotten into heated debates about that, LOL. Yes, I've thought about that plenty of times. Like, why is it just because I missed a field goal, but it's third down, I just turn it over? It'd be the same thing if I threw it. I saw a guy in the end zone, but I chucked it deep and it went 10 yards over his head off to the right of the field goal, but it was just an incomplete pass. I still get another shot. Always thought that was fascinating, too.
The one time I met Faith, she was really, really nice. So, like, I don't want to know what Faith's heated debates are. Faith, your heated debates loud or are you calm?
Chris texting in, 20 seconds to go, third down placeholder, flub snap, and just falls on it. Next snap will be from that point. 20 seconds to go, third down placeholder, flub snap, and just falls on it. Yes. That would be an example of you could redo it because you never kicked it, right? That's not a turnover, correct?
Correct.
That's why they say you want to give yourself plenty of time just in case something goes wrong. And that's what they're talking about, is if it's a bad snap, it's a fumble, it would still be you lose, obviously, it's third down, you flub the snap, whatever, you fall on it. It's now fourth down from the point where the fumble happened, where you had to fall on the ball. But if you kick it, it's over. Possession done, whether you make it or miss it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Or for more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Real quick, Go Poke says, one check equals a knee, an elbow equals a knee. Why not a hand or a wrist? Yes. And why does it have to be the tip of your foot? If your heel touches right before your tip goes, the tip of your toe goes out, that one's a weird one too. That's good.
Well, if your entire foot goes down, is going to go down, then it has to be the whole thing has to hit the ground and not.
But if you catch the ball in the back of the end zone and your heel hits right on the green, but then your toe falls over and it's on the white, is that a catch?
No.
No, that's dumb. Yeah, why do the toes get all the love and the heel gets nothing?
Okay, so what it is if your whole foot is going to go down, then the whole thing needs to be on the ground.
But why is it your tip of your foot can be in and then you go out and your whole foot never went down? You just tapped your toe and that's in. Why can't it count as a heel?
If just the heel is down, if you get the two heels down and go out of the end zone, that is a catch.
That's a catch, yeah.
Because the whole feet didn't go down.
That's interesting. Okay.
They say if the whole thing's going to go down, the whole thing's got to be inbound.
Stupid. Good is the Avs win. The Nuggets win. The Wyoming Cowboys win last night. Were they really going up against a guy? Is it Austin P? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Austin P? They had a player with one arm. Guy with one arm. Mad props to that guy for playing basketball. And the fact that he could play at this level with one arm. That's freaking awesome. But the Cowboys win. The Avs win. Gabriel Landeskog got his first goal of the season last night. Should have been his third, but he's had a couple called back. Not called a goal, I guess. And the Nuggets. What can I say? I told you guys Aaron Gordon was going to have a combo of 23.5 or over. And he did. You're welcome. I'm 3-1 on those. Bad is the game time. The Nuggets tipped off after 9 o'clock, Mike. I'm Mr. Nugget. I watch all 82 games. Well, maybe 81. I couldn't do it. Fell asleep at 8:50. I thought about watching the first period, but I can't do that to myself. If I start, I'm in. So I just shut my little eyes and went to bed. Woke up and saw that Joker did another incredible thing. Whip-de-doo. I hate to say whip-de-doo, but it's just freaking ridiculous. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Can you record those games?
I can, but when am I going to watch it? When am I going to watch that game in particular? I mean, I could go home and watch it tonight, but I'll probably watch CSU and Cal Poly. We got to move on, Mike. We're quick movers. The ugly is where we are with J.K. Dobbins right now, and I'm constantly checking for updates from Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. This is all we know. Yeah, after the show yesterday, J.K. Dobbins was not played. We thought he might be placed on IR, but then they did not do it yet. We will see today, if he goes today, what that looks like. So if he practices today, there's still a chance that he might not get placed on IR. There's still a chance he might play against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. 33 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're going to talk some Wyoming Cowboys coming up with Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Also, Sean Keeler. The Avs are really good, but they're really bad at something. Really bad at something that could present a problem down the road. We'll talk to Sean about that coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Yeah, Dixon says at least tonight's game tips earlier, 8:50. Woohoo! Yeah, man. I like staying up late. Friday night, I'm all for it, but I like to get up early, get into a routine. And the older I get, if it's much past 9:30, I don't get up and do my routine. I don't do it. It's getting worse. Literally the last year, I felt it. Like, I have to go shut her down. And I wanted to stay up and watch the Nuggets game. Listen, I'm glad the Nuggets won. And I'm glad Joker had this kind of game. I'm just pissed off I didn't get to see it. It's my own fault. I gotta fight through. You know, you gotta be stronger. 35 points, 15 rebounds, but that's not even it. 16 of 19. Efficiency. And you know what? You know how many times he went to the free throw line? Three times. He was 2 of 3. Go look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I know it's a constant comparison between the two. I'm just saying, man, one of these things is not like the other. And you have a guy that earns every single stat. And I'm not, Shai earns his stats. I get that. But he goes to the free throw a lot. Free throw line a lot. He's got 10 points right off the bat. Because you know he's going to the line at least 10 times. Or he's going to have at least 10 free throws. So he's got 10 points before the game even starts. It's not the case with Joker, who's in the paint all the time, getting absolutely getting absolutely attacked down there. But he still puts out these numbers. I don't know what else to say, man. My poll question of the day, this one's brought to you by the latest episode of Front Range Spare Change with the dude down the hall. They threw in a sponsorship. It was really nice. Really appreciate their dollars. Where is Joker now? Top 20? Top 15? Top 10? Top 5? You go top 5?
Top 50.
Top 50? Are you serious?
He could be number 1. He could be number 50.
Why? What? Why are you? Yes, of course he's top 50. I get what you're doing. You're the NFL. You're confusing the situation. The majority of the votes, again, go follow me at Whole Show on X. 44% say top 10. I'm glad to see that's shifting a little bit. 34% have him at top 5. He's easily top 10. Guys, what he's doing is miraculous. And I know Micah's going to, Brady, you're a fanboy. Anybody that watches this human being play, if you're not a fanboy, you don't know basketball. You don't watch basketball. You don't know sports. Because what he's doing is epic. What he's doing is legendary. And I lose sleep over the day he decides he doesn't want to play basketball anymore. I lose sleep over that. Yes.
I was going to say that my top 50 was a joke, but he's probably in ESPN's top 500.
ESPN doesn't recognize. I mean, the stat line, 35 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. And all that action, he only has 3 turnovers. I got a lot to say about this Nuggets team, so I like to do this every 10 games, just assess where the Nuggets are. They're 8-2. Right now, they beat the Sacramento Kings 122-108. They beat the Kings. It wasn't even a bad beating, but they beat the Kings twice now. And the Kings are now debating what they're going to do with their future. Are they going to blow this whole thing up? And that bodes well for Nick Clifford. If they blow this whole thing up, he'll probably be a starter. They build around him. That's really cool, actually. But this is I don't know, guys. This is like the deepest roster, certainly the deepest roster Joker has ever had. Because I'm looking last year, and this is what it was. It was Joker, Jamal, MPJ, Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, Russell Westbrook, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, Jalen Pickett, and then DJ to throw him in there. Pickett was a wild card. Strother was a wild card. Watson was kind of a wild card. DJ was a wild card. Russ was somewhat of a wild card. To compare to where they are now with that top 9, it's fascinating. And we'll get into some of that more and more later on in the program. We'll talk Broncos as well. Big game for Denver. Biggest game since the Super Bowl? Let's talk about it. 43 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Faith, I like this one, too. By the way, for you, Michael, she says, my heated debates are always filled with love and kindness, but I make sure to get my point across. I also never understood these vast differences between college and NFL rules. For instance, why can one foot be in for a college player, but both feet have to be in at some capacity in the NFL? I agree. I think the college rules should be the same as the NFL. I think you should be down by contact, too. I don't think you should be down as soon as your knees hit the ground.
I agree with the down by contact. It should be like that in college. But NFL receivers are way more talented than college receivers. So I like the 1 foot for college and 2 feet for pro.
Yeah, decent point by you. You get a half a point today, Mike. That's the most you've earned this entire time. So good job.
I get 3 points.
Eastside Chris, in your computer games, can you play Wilt versus Joker? I don't know. I haven't bought an NBA game in a while. Brady saw that Wilt did while I was a young one. Saw what Wilt did while I was a young one. Joker's the greatest since that generation ever. Issue with the Jordan, but I think he surpasses him. Joker surpasses Jordan? I mean, again, you got to throw the championships. Basketball, you got to have the championships. But what if he gets 2 more? Food for thought. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. NBA. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Guys are gambling on stuff? Well, let us fix the All-Star game. That's what we'll do. Also, bad news about Travis Hunter. We'll be right back.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So we're talking about how good Nikola Jokic is. How about Nathan McKinnon? Nathan McKinnon now has 32 points, leads the NHL. Last night, they went up against a young, up-and-coming Ducks team who'd won 7 in a row before that game. And there was this idea that maybe the Avs were, you know, going to get caught up in that, or this would be a shootout type, like not an actual shootout, like overtime shootout thing, but like high-scoring affair. And the Avs, I mean, McKinnon had 3 assists in that game last night. Landeskog got his first goal. Wedgwood, 35 of 36 saved shots. He got to his 10th win of the season. That leads the NHL as well against a red-hot Anaheim Ducks team. This is so much fun, man. And if the Broncos, like, the Broncos have arguably the biggest game that they've had coming up, and I know it's regular season, and they played the Bills in a playoff game last year, but arguably top three biggest games the Broncos have had since winning the Super Bowl in 2015. You have this game coming up against the Chiefs. A prove-it nationally opportunity for the Broncos. The Nuggets are 8-2. The Avs have 11 wins. They only have 1 regulation loss. Was there ever a time like this, Mike? All three, every single night, greatness is happening? It's insane to me. It's so freaking awesome.
I don't recall this, the Broncos, the Avs, the Nuggets all being this good at the same time. I mean, in the 90s, the Avs and the Broncos were good.
But the Nuggets were bad.
Nuggets were terrible.
And when the Nuggets were making their playoff runs with Carmelo Anthony, the Broncos weren't really a threat. They weren't doing much.
The Rockies had hitters.
The Rockies were probably better at that point. It's. I remember a time with both Ball Arena teams when we were like, at least one of them was always in the playoffs, and then there was that stretch of like 3 years where both of them were out, and so Ball Arena or Pepsi Center at the time was just empty during the playoffs. Now it's like guaranteed they will be in the postseason, and now the Broncos are starting to put themselves in that conversation. It is so much fun, man. It used to be like, hey, long week waiting for the Broncos to start up again over on the weekend. Now you got the Avs and the Nuggets to entertain you throughout the week, gear you up for Sunday. It's awesome.
And CSU and CU football is ending.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Top stories of the day. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.